Go pray, Manande.
Okay. So tonight we'll read from. We'll read from chapter 20. Sorry. Text 20, chapter 61. And the chapter is entitled Or Balaram Slays with Me. So text number 20 to 40. King Pariksit said, "How could Rukmi give his daughter to his enemy's son? After all, Rukmi had been defeated by Lord Krishna in battle and was waiting for an opportunity to kill him. Please explain this to me, O learned one, how these two inimical parties became united through marriage." Mystic yogis can perfectly see that which has not yet happened, as well as things in the past or present, beyond the senses, remote or blocked by physical obstacles. Chandan.
Here King Pariksit encourages Shukdev Swami to explain why Rukmini gave his daughter to Lord Krishna's son Pradyumna. The king stresses that since great yogis like Shukdev Swami, Goswami, know everything, the sage must also know this and should explain it to the ancient king.
So any points?
Recalling.
Any other points? So this is a mystical power that is called Trikalagya. Trikalagya means having knowledge of past, present, and future. So it means to have this kind of potency, one has to be extremely powerful. These are developed mystic powers and potencies. So the only personalities who have these potencies are extremely powerful sages, munis, rishis, demigods. So Krishna himself is the source of all these powers. And in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we read how there are 8 mystic cities. And these mystic cities, they all come from Krishna. So when one develops a certain potency, then one is able to attain these various cities. These cities are extremely powerful. So we see that Shukadeva Goswami, he's being asked about things that have taken place which cannot be seen. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, in the very beginning, it states that Dhritarashtra asked
Sanjaya.
He asked Sanjaya, "What is the situation on the battlefield of Kurukshetra?" They were situated in Hastinapur, which means they were, these days it's about 3 hours' drive. I don't know how many kilometers it is, but from Hastinapur, Delhi to Kurukshetra, it's quite a distance.
About 200, more than 200.
Yeah, over 200 kilometers. So he was able to see what was taking place by his mystic power. So that is the potency. So here it is being said, please tell us of things. So this is a matter of faith, whether or not we believe in these things. Do you believe these things are possible? When people can see past, present, future. Do you know anyone who can do this?
Not me.
No, but I mean personally, do you know anyone who can do this?
No, some people in India.
Some people in India? Yeah, you know them? Yeah, you know them.
What's the
What's that?
Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada had these kind of approaches, but you won't meet people generally. You don't generally know people who have this kind of potency. So then it's a question of faith. Do we believe these things are possible? No? And we do believe these things are possible. Why? Because we have faith in the potency of Krishna. Nothing is impossible. So there are many great personalities who have this potency. They can do these kind of things. So here Sugadev Goswami, he has this. Any points? Okay. Sri Sugadev Goswami said at her Swayamvara ceremony, Rukmavati herself chose Prajumna, who was the re-embodiment of Cupid. Then, although he fought alone on a single chariot, Prajumna defeated the assembled kings in battle and took her away. So, who did Prajumna marry? Rukmavati. And who was that?
Daughter of Rukmi.
Daughter of?
Rukmi.
Rukmi. So what is the relationship?
Daughter and cousin.
Cousins. Is this still prevalent in India? The cousins get married?
Yes.
In some communities.
Some communities. They still do it. Okay. So sometimes it is there. So it was more prevalent in the past. If you go back through the royal dynasties, even Queen Victoria, that's only like 200 years ago, she was the Queen of England. So she married her cousin, Alfred. So even 200 years ago, these things were there.
Actually,
the girl side can get married
to the boy side, like Rukmani's side. So the Rukmani's
side cousin can get married to the
not the other way.
Yeah.
Mother's side can get married.
Yeah. So we're seeing here that the cousins are married. Yeah, as it is Rukmani to Prajumna, so they're cousins, so they're getting married. These days it's not so prevalent, but it was there in the royal dynasties in the past. So what was the difficulty with this particular marriage? Yeah, they were enemies. So Krishna, Rukmi was giving his daughter to his enemy, Krishna, his son, Prajumna. So this is a very complicated situation that was taking place. So why did Rukmi do that?
Please please Rukmini.
Yeah, to please Rukmini. Yeah, that's an important point. Yeah. What's another point?
Maybe because he's scared of Krishna.
Yeah, he was scared of Krishna. Yeah, that's a good point. He knew that Prajumna, because there was a Swayamvara. Swayamvara means the bride can choose her own groom. And then there can be a competition to see who the wife will take, who she will choose. So the competition is there. And she can choose someone even before the competition begins. She'd say, I want to marry this person. So then he thought, if he just gives his daughter to Prajumna, that just shows that he's subordinate to Krishna. So he knew that Prajumna was going to win anyway. He thought, at least if I do it in the competition, it looks like it was all fair and I was impartial and all those things. But he knew Prajumna. But he didn't like it. No, but he had no real choice, no control. Because he knew the power of Prajumna, he would do it. He knew the power of Krishna. So, you can see, back in those days, life was much more colourful. Hands up if you find life boring. Only three people. Four. Everyone else fly fight. Yeah, that's all. Everyone else likes it. You enjoy it. I find Kali Yuga personally boring. I really do. I find it very monotonous. You know, I always say stupid things all the time. Everyone knows that I say, I'm always saying jokes and stupid things because I'm bored, honestly. Because if I just go normal and just go along with what's going on, yeah, I'll probably die in about 24 hours. It's so boring, honestly, the way it is these days. It's like our lifestyle has just become so boring compared to what was there previously. You know, it's much more colourful. At least India's colourful. You go there, it's colourful. Going across the road, that's colourful. Yeah, you don't know if you're going to live or not, so at least it's, you know, there's some enjoyment there. You know, you're probably going to get attacked by a monkey or something. Yeah, so yeah, everyone's trying to steal your money. You know, it's exciting. At least something is there. You know, this is some enjoyment. Just, you know, day to day in this world, I mean, none of you put your hand up, so you're obviously enjoying it very much, but there's four or five of us, it's extremely boring. No? Whereas here, there is Swayambhara, which means very exciting way to get married. Even marriages these days are very boring. I was in Vrindavan a few years ago, and then they brought the groom. I was in the Radharaman temple, so they big wedding party, and I heard the noise, and then the groom came in. It's obviously like a 3-day marriage or something. He came in, he was like, it's hard for me to do the face, but I was like, kind of like a dead fish or something. Kind of walking like, no emotion, no color, no emotion. No. Even weddings these days aren't that enjoyable. No. Previously, this was enjoyable. You know, steal the princess, maybe there's going to be a fight. You know, like that. It's like, this is the way it should be. You know, at least something should be. But these days, everything becomes. So at least in the Bhagavatam, you know, if we become pure, then in our next life, maybe we can go to Krishna's pastimes, where everything is much more enjoyable than what it is these days. I don't know, that's just my feeling. You all seem like you're happy, so enjoy yourselves. You're enjoying Kali Yuga, that's true. But the rest of us, we're bored. Any points? Though Rukmi always remembered his enmity. Just like yesterday, we had that, it was my Guru Maharaj's Vyasa Puja yesterday. So then afterwards, I was going around taking all those, you know, I was stealing prasadam. You know, and some of the devotees I can see, they're getting like a little bit like, what's he doing? Because so, they made this one, Achintarupa Manaji made this lemon pie, which is like, I'm very fond of this pie. And then we ran out, because you know, everyone ate it. So then the devotees were leaving, and everyone takes their stashes, their plates. So I was stopping everyone at the door, and I was taking off the foil and taking the lemon pie before they could leave. That's what I mean, it has to be enjoyable. And sometimes, oh, you can't do that, you're stealing and everything like that, but then that's fun. Yeah, at least for me it was. It wasn't for everyone else. Okay. I enjoy it. It's much more fun than just, you know, someone giving it to you and then, you know, you have to steal it. You know, and then one Mataji, she'd actually eaten. So she's really concerned because I was taking her remnants and I took it anyway. And I ate it in front of her and everyone else. Like, this is fun. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying it's a lot more enjoyable. Anyway, everyone can judge me and say, well, if you don't want to come to the class, I respect that. I do, I respect that. Because I know sometimes I'm not like the ideal character, so I respect that. If you don't want to come, I won't take offense. But I'm not going to stop doing these things. And Rudy Prabhu was there as well. And Rudy Prabhu was in there. He said, control your senses. I just kept doing that. It was very funny. Even I took from him. And Chintarupa, I took from a Chintarupa as well. So funny. Yeah. You're probably better off finding a different teacher. my character is not so good. I cannot help you. Though Rukmi always remembered his enmity toward Lord Krishna, who had insulted him, in order to please his sister, he sanctioned his daughter's marriage to his nephew.
The answer to the King Pritchett question is given here. Ultimately, Rukmi approved his daughter's marriage to Pradyumna in order to please his sister Rukmini.
Any points?
He must have loved her very much.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very attached. The Bhagavatam says, Deha Patra Kalatradishu Atma Sanyesh Vasatswati. This is a nice verse in the Bhagavatam. It says that Deha Apacha Kalatra Adishu. The Deha, we're attached to our body. Apatya means whatever comes from the body, children like that. Kalatra means your wife, your husband. Adishu means all your paraphernalia. They are asat, means, Prabhupada translate that as fallible soldiers. All of those things will not protect you at the time of death. We see in the famous pastime of Ajamya. The relatives cannot protect you at the time of death. But that's what we're attached to in this world. We're attached to the bodies, which were all attached. All of us had a family, very strongly. So Rukmi was like that, very attached to Rukmini. Therefore, he was putting up with so much humiliation and embarrassment from Krishna. So therefore, he was giving Rukmini. But the basic point is that we should not become overly attached. Everyone has attachment. That's natural in this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that. It's natural when you're born in this world, you become attached to your country, you become attached to your family, you become attached to the land that you're born in. Those things are natural. But not too much attachment. Not to the point where we put it before our attachment to Guru and Krishna. It should not become the most important attachment in our life. Just like when I was in Geelong, we used to do a home program there, and we had some Indian families coming. And then in one of the classes, that I was making fun of India. It's like this, it's like that. And then one of the girls, she's about 16, 17, she started arguing with me. Why do you say like this? How can you say India is like this, India is like this? She's missing the point. So I stood up to her. I said, no, this is not what I mean. Krishna does not say in the Bhagavad Gita, he does not glorify India. He glorifies Sanatana Dharma. Our relationship with him. Savadaman Bhurijaja. Abandon everything else, become attached to me. That's the main point. So Rukmi, he was too attached. And you'll see later in the chapter, it's actually said that Rukmini did not share the attachment. Because as devotees, why are we attached? To our family or to anyone? It's based on the relationship with Krishna. Just like one devotee, a senior devotee in our temple here, she told me on the Saturday morning, I had breakfast with her, Bhakti, Bhakti Devi, senior devotee. So she was crying. I walked in, take prasad, she said, give me a hug. So she gave me, normally I don't hug managers, but Bhakti is different. Somehow she just grabs you, so what can you do? But she said to me, she was crying. I said, well, what's wrong? She said, my brother and my sister, my mother died, and they, even though they are the executors of the will, they're giving me nothing. They're going to keep it all. And she was crying. She was upset. And she said, it's not so much the money, but just the feeling that they would do that. It was like that. And this is the way it is. Because too much based on the body, too much based on the bodily attachment. And I said to her, my family's quite nice in many ways, you know, they have their difficulties also, but, you know, to be honest, I'm more attached to the devotees. You know, I'm more attached to all of you than I am. My ISKCON family is more meaningful to me than my material family. Not that I don't like them, and, you know, I have a strong attachment to them, but this is more my family. And devotees, we feel like that, right? Because it's not based upon material designation. You know, we're born in this country or like that. It's based on our relationship with each other, based on our service to Krishna. That's the real basis. So, Rukmini, we'll see as it goes on. She's not, but Rukmini is very grateful to her. And he has some good qualities, like everyone. Everyone has good qualities. Even like Donald Trump. Right? Everyone criticizes him all the time. He's not all bad. You know, there's some good stuff there. He actually says some good stuff. You know. But then, you know, a lot of crazy stuff mixed in. And same as everyone in this world. You know, we have negative qualities, but there's always something good. Now, if you look through the Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu, right? He was the worst of everyone. But still, there's some good stuff there. He says some good things, so we take that. Kamsa. Actually, I can't think of anything good. maybe there's something there you can think. But I don't know.
There is a verse that comes out, always fearful of Krishna, and that was a good problem. He was always thinking of
Krishna. Yeah, so if you look at it like that, then yeah. So we can try to find something good. Everyone will have something. So here, Rukmi, what was his good quality? in a cultured, advanced civilization, people are always, how do you say it, indebted to someone who did something for them. And we should be careful in our own lives, because sometimes as devotees we don't do this. Sometimes someone does something for us, but then we forget it. Right? And then later on, you know, they come back and then we... you've seen the example in the Mahabharata. What's an example? Drona?
Karna.
Drupada?
Karna.
Yeah, he was attached to it. No, but the example of Drona and Drupada. So Drupada said to Drona, he said, I'll give you half the kingdom. And he came back later on. You know, just nicely. He said, you know, like that. And he said, no. He said, I never said that. Even I had this a couple of days ago in my car. I had to get some work. And then my mechanic, he's actually very nice. And he said to me, he said, I'll organize a hire car for you, don't worry. So I turned around, the hire car's not there. Right? And he said, well, you know, yeah, it's going to cost me too much money and all that. And I said, that's no problem for me. But you said, you know, if you just said from the beginning, I can't, it's no problem. Right? So I'll organize. But if you say something, you do it. And as devotees, we have to be like this. Right? If we say something, you do it. We have to watch ourselves in our lives. You know, if you say something to another devotee, I will do that for you, I will be there, like that. You do it. Because you see now in Kali Yuga, people don't do like that. And that's Rukmi's good quality. Because who saved him?
Rukmini
saved him. Krishna was going to. Mm-hmm. You know, Krishna was not being very merciful to him. Krishna was, he already whacked him, and he was bleeding, cut off half the hair. You know, Krishna was going to go further. Rukmini said, please, he's my brother. Just, you know, give him a little bit. And Krishna just like threw him. Okay.
Go.
No. She's asking, so you live, go. You know, otherwise, yeah. You know, so the good thing was he remembered that. Right? That's one reason why he's giving the child to Prajumna, the daughter. Because he said, okay. And that's a qualified person. Yeah. Same as Lila Maya was saying, Karna, or Duryodhana, even Duryodhana. But you know, when they made promises to someone, they were very attached to those people. Karna. So as devotees, we have to make sure we make the right promises to the right people. Don't be sentimental. No? Don't promise something to someone who is not qualified. Right? You only promise to someone who is very qualified. No? But this is the point we're learning. No? We should be honorable with our word. Hands up if you are like that. If you give your word, you will keep your word.
Brother, with beauty.
One for two people. Okay, that's good. Two people in the room. What happened to the rest of you? I'll put my hand up, right? I can honestly say I'm like that. Right? I know I steal from everyone's plates, I do all these other things which are not, you know, they're like a little dubious, I accept that. But one thing I tell you, that if I say something to you, I will do it, I will do it. I promise you. So I can't put my hand up for that. All the other things are false, I know that. But that one's an important one. And because of those kind of things, it overrides the defects. Not totally, but it overrides many of the defects. Yeah. Because that's a devotee has to be like that. Yeah, like if I say to you, what's the date today? 22nd of July. So if I say to you, I'll be 2nd of July 2019, I'll be here at 7:30 for you, I'll be here. Yeah, it might be 7:35, but I'll be here. Yeah, but it means, yeah, a couple of minutes off or maybe, but I'll be there like that. So as devotees, we have to have that quality. That's culture. You know, Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada was just so perfect in his commitment to things. Any points?
But he actually didn't promise to that anything.
Didn't promise what?
I mean, Rukmi did not promise anything. To do.
He gave the daughter.
Yeah, that's right, but he did not promise.
The Acharyas made the point he was honorable. That's the point. There's some good quality there. Yeah. That's the point. Okay.
So what happened with the
Bhaktivinoda? What's that?
What happened with the conversation with Bhaktivinoda?
Well, that's just hers.
She was blind because of the thing that has happened.
Because her family is not giving her, they're cutting her out of the will, so she's upset. Okay. O King, Bali, the son of Kritavarma, married Rukmini's young daughter, large-eyed Charu Mati. Yogi, you like to read?
Srila Sridhar Swami explains that each of the Lord's queens had one daughter, and that this mention of Charuti's marriage is an indirect reference to the marriages of all these men.
Is it the reference?
What's that?
Is it the reference?
Yeah. Yeah.
One daughter.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. We never, it's not commonly said to be said. We always say Krishna had 10 sons, but there was one daughter to each queen as well. So.
But is it a common thing in Tibetan culture that like cousins can marry and
that? The what?
Like relatives can marry.
Yeah, it's in the higher families, it's there. Yeah, cousins would marry. Even like I was saying 200 years ago, it happened. Queen Victoria married. In the royal families, it was more of a common thing. We don't do it these days. Okay, so any points? So, the point was that Krishna made sure his daughter got married. That's our responsibility. When you have kids, you have a responsibility. As the Bhagavad Gita says, if you cannot deliver the child from birth and death, then do not have children. That's our responsibility. Of course, it's up to them what they want to do. You know, if they choose to become devotees, that's their choice. But from our part, we have to do everything in our power to deliver them from birth and death. So Krishna, he was responsible. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami makes this point in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. A devotee must be materially responsible. We cannot neglect our material duties. We cannot say, oh, I'm devotees. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, just surrender to me. If you want to do that, then you have to take sannyas. Right? Only a sannyasi can be materially divorced. That's the meaning of sannyas. Sannyasi doesn't have any material responsibility. Although you see the sannyasis, even they are very responsible sometimes. You know, they look after their parents and different things. But they don't have that obligation. But if you're not willing to take sannyas, then you have to be materially responsible. You have obligations in the material world. You have to take care of them. You have to take care of your parents. You have to take care of your children. You have to take care of the family. You have to take care of your dog. You have to take care of your fish. It's your responsibility. Even in your house, you have plants. You have to take care of the plants. Just like this morning, I watered all my plants in the house because they're dependent. So it's my responsibility. I can't neglect. If you take responsibility of another life, you have to be responsible for that. So Krishna was responsible. He made sure all of his daughters got married. That's how responsible. Any points?
So this is one of the lectures today. And Srila Prabhupada was in some temple and he saw a plant wilting, just basically, and then he called the temple president and everyone and said, who's responsible for not giving water to the plant?
Yeah, Prabhupada was so amazing.
Who was burning?
Krita Mama. He's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. He was a Kshatriya. Yeah, there's the other time when Prabhupada came to Dallas and the tree was growing very close to the building in the temple. And when Prabhupada came back next year, they cut the tree down. And Prabhupada was very upset. He said, why did you cut it? He said, we should cut you down. Why have you cut that tree? Yeah, go to India, see, like they build around the tree. That's culture. You know, small trees you can, but big trees then have to be. It says in the Manu Samhita, it is sinful to cut down a big tree. Small trees, that's a little different, you know, maybe, but big trees, it's sinful. It says even a poisonous tree, if it's a large tree, it's sinful to cut it down. And devotees these days, we just kill everything and do this, do that. No responsibility.
But there can be exceptions. Like if you are building a temple and there are trees, you have to cut them. Exception.
Yeah, well, in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, then Prabhupada kept the tamal tree in the center of the courtyard. So Prabhupada designed the temple so the tree could stay. You know, if it's real, like in the TOVP, they had to knock down a number of trees. A lot of devotees complained. But, you know, that's, sometimes you have to. Rukmi gave his granddaughter, Rochana, to his daughter's son, Aniruddha, despite Rukmi's relentless feud with Lord Hari. Although Rukmi considered this marriage irreligious, he wanted to please his sister, bound as he was by the ropes of affection. So there's several points here in this purport. One point is that, actually we'll read the first paragraph. This paragraph number one.
Srila Siddha Swami explains that according to worldly standards, one should not give one's beloved granddaughter to grandson of one's bitter enemy. Thus, we find the following injunction: Visha anam na bhuktavyam Devishantam Naiva Bhojaya. One should not eat an enemy's food or feed an enemy. There is also the following prohibition. Asvargyam Loka Vidhi Vistam Dharmam Api Acharya Nadu. One should not execute religious injunctions if they will obstruct one's journey to heaven or if they will produce to human society.
Yeah. So what are the points there?
The Isopanishad mentions that if you act according to the will of Krishna, then even whatever apparently may seem like adharma, karma cannot touch you. It's mantra 3.
Prabhu.
Yeah.
Just one question, when you say like one should not eat the enemies food or feed an enemy, but like when we hear about that, like how the Pandavas, or they used to fight, or we went after the battles, yeah, and then they used to go to their houses and sit down together and have dinner together. How do we understand that?
Yeah, it's a good point. I was thinking that today when I read it. It says here, yeah, there's one instruction which is given that even if the enemy comes to your house, you have to treat them like a guest. Like that. But then from our side, the other one is that, you know, do not go and eat at the enemy's house. So you have to use your discretion. In our lives, we have to see what is the best thing to do. So it says here that one needs to endeavor with intelligence. Prabhupada actually says this is the definition of enthusiasm. Because everyone wants to be enthusiastic. You know, let me do this, let me do that. So enthusiasm is there. We all have enthusiasm. But Prabhupada said enthusiasm means endeavoring with intelligence. Not just, let's go and do everything. So you have to think things through very carefully. Now, it means that most of us are going to need guidance. That's why we have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. What is the best thing that you should be doing? And we have to learn to make these decisions ourselves. As you advance in Krishna consciousness, a good disciple should know what the spiritual master's desire is. Not that we have to continually go and get guidance and instruction. We should know over time. We should develop that kind of vijnana. Vijnana means wisdom, or the knowledge of what we should do and what we should not do. So we see that when it comes to how to deal with enemies and those things, you have to develop that vijnana. It's like sometimes, you know, something happens and like a rift forms between yourself and another devotee. Has that ever happened to you? No hands up if that ever happened. Yeah. One devotee? Okay. Two, three? Okay. I don't know what's happened to me. All of you must have these amazing lives for all these things take place. But even myself, recently, some devotee, a little bit senior devotee, but then something's happened. You know, I've tried to avoid it happening, but it's like, sometimes time just manifests something like that. So then Krishna is testing us, how do we deal with those situations? And when someone's being inimical towards us or not being friendly to us, how do we deal? Yeah. So, you know, I keep checking myself all the time. Don't get, in a spirit of retaliation. Even though this devotee said some things about me which I didn't think were fair, like that, but I'm not going to get into this whole, I can start going, oh, they did this, they did that, and making politics. What's the point? So Krishna is always watching us. What is our intention? That's the important thing. If they want to say something, that's their thing. And actually, I said something to this devotee. I said, Prabhu, I heard you said this about me. I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's true. And then they, you know, answered it in the way they wanted to answer it. Like that. But, you know, I'm not going to go get into a whole fight with them. So the point is, Krishna is always watching how we deal with these things. So sometimes enemies come in your life, in my life sometimes they come. You know, most of you don't have enemies, which is very good. You're very blessed. But if these things do come, then you have to deal with it very expertly. According to the way the guru, the sadhu, and the shastra would want you to act and behave. The day that my guru initiated me, what did he say to me? What instruction did he give? Just up there in that room, the darshan room, up there. I went up there a few hours before I got initiated. He gave me the final interview. And then he said, become a credit to your guru. He gave me that instruction, become a credit to your guru. Right? And I still don't feel like I've lived up to his instruction. Yeah. I still don't feel like I'm on the level that I should be, that he would want me to be. But still, I'm trying. Yeah. But he gave me that instruction. So I always remember that. You know, the way I act should be a credit to him. I mean, I steal things and that kind of stuff. But all the rest of it, I try to be, as much as possible. You should try to be a credit. And then, further in the purport, we should understand that Krishna is ultimately a friend to everyone. This is pointed out in the purport. So even when Krishna deals very heavily with someone, it is only for their benefit. Particularly for us, because we are Krishna's devotees. Does Krishna sometimes deal heavily with you? Okay. Okay. Everyone's agreeing on this one. The last I asked a question which is relevant to the students. Sometimes it happens. Krishna is very heavy with us. But that is only for our benefit. Rukmi was dealt heavily, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. Right? And you'll see he's going to get killed very soon in a few more verses. Right? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? You think it's good? It's pretty heavy though, what happens? We'll read the next few verses, very heavy. It's a wedding. Imagine the wedding. You kill the father of the bride. Someone just pulls out his club and just goes bang, just kills him. Right? That's a heavy situations. Right. But if Krishna does something like that, it's auspicious. Everything Krishna does is auspicious. Nothing is inauspicious. Hare Krishna. On the joyous occasion of that marriage, O King, Queen Rukmini, Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, and several of the Lord's sons, headed by Samba and Pradyumna, went to the city of Bhojakata. After the wedding, a group of arrogant kings headed by the king of Kalinga told Rukmi, you should defeat Balaram at dice. He's not expert at dice, O king, but still he's quite addicted to it. Thus advised, Rukmi challenged Balaram and began a gambling match with him. So, what is the main defect in these people? Arrogant, yeah, good.
Envy.
Yeah, envy. Yeah, it's matsara. Envy. And that is the main problem in this material world. Everyone is envious of everyone else. We're not free from it. I see it myself, it just comes up and comes up and comes up. Envy. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, even people I like, even my friends, but sometimes I feel some envy. Oh, they were successful. Something, they achieved something. Right? Become envious. Right? So that keeps us in the material world. So Lord Balaram, he detected amongst these warriors that spirit was there. So when we act like that, we will always be crushed by Balaram's club. So Balaram pulled out his club. And he took out Rukmini, and then you'll see he gets, sorry, Rukmini, and then he gets the other. In that match, Lord Balaram first accepted a wager of 100 coins, then 1,000, then 10,000. Rukmi won this first round, and the king of Kalinga laughed loudly at Lord Balaram, showing all his teeth. Lord Balaram could not tolerate this.
Future technical.
Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the wages consisted of gold coins. Lord Balaram inwardly became quite angry when he saw the gross offense of the king of Kalinga.
Any points?
We have to learn to laugh without shaking.
That's the most important thing. Any other points?
Who your enemy is, how powerful your enemy is,
people
can
do
something like that.
Yeah, you could say about that. So, the point is that Krishna never tolerates any impropriety. If someone acts improperly, they will be punished. And in this material world, we see people acting improperly all of the time. I was watching an interesting documentary recently. One of my good friends, Mani Griva Prabhu, we live there at the front. So he's interested in what we call the shadow governments of the world. Shadow governments? Do you know what I mean by this?
Illuminati.
Yeah, Illuminati. Okay, so. Like, you know, like there's President of America and those things, but actually there's people behind the scenes who are very powerful, and they're actually doing a lot of control of a lot of things. So he sent me a link, so sometimes I watch some of the things. A few years ago he said, you know, when the Twin Towers came down, 9/11, like that. So, you know, we were told it was terrorists who did that. But those planes could not bring down the tower. I think many of you may know that, or not know that. You know, the plane cannot bring down the tower. They're built to survive the impact of many planes. The only way that could come down, there was only one element which can melt steel. The steel needs to be heated to 4,000 degrees, and the airplane, the fire can only go to 750 degrees. So for that to melt as quickly as it did, the only people on the planet who have that product or item is the US military itself. So it was brought down by their own people. And when World War II began, Hitler, you know Hitler's very famous, he burnt down a parliament building in Germany. And then he said, oh, the Austrians did it, and then they invaded. So it's something they've been doing for years. So the Americans themselves brought it down, like these shadow government, they brought down this thing, these twin towers. And then the next couple of days, okay, now let's invade Afghanistan, Iraq, like these places, because then we get oil and we get drugs and these things, and that's where they make a lot of their money. So, you know, you send me these documentaries, I watch some of it, and then, so you get an idea of what's going on. So the point is, these people think they can escape correction and punishment, but as soon as they die, there will be, punishment will be there. We cannot escape the laws of Krishna, right? In this lifetime, okay, maybe you can escape something, but in the universal scheme, Yamaraj is waiting for you. And none of us are powerful enough to deal with Yamaraj. It's too powerful. So as devotees, the same thing. On a minor scale, you know, we don't do things like that, but if we don't behave properly, Krishna will cut us. Right? He does it to me all the time. You know, if I step out of line, he comes. Even today, you know, I was having a leela with my wife before I got here. So I said the wrong thing, and one thing led to another, and the leela became more and more expansive. What was the word? you all know what I'm talking about. So these things take place. So, but it made me think. I was driving up here on the way, and I was listening to her points in my mind. You call it like the replay. All the things she said. And I thought, yeah, I can understand her point. I don't agree with it all, but I can understand her point. So the point is, if we don't act properly, right, then we will be punished. We'll be picked up on those things. Right? So as devotees, we have to act properly. And you see here that because these friends of Rukmi, they sided with him, then Balarami smashed them all. Any points? Next, Rukmi accepted a bet of 100,000 coins, which Lord Balaram won. But Rukmi tried to cheat, declaring, "I am the winner." So what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita?
Amongst the cheaters.
Yeah, amongst the cheaters, I am the cheater. So you try to play with Krishna, you will play with me. Shaking with anger, like the ocean on the full moon day, handsome Lord Balaram, his naturally reddish eyes even redder in his fury, accepted a wager of 100 million gold coins. Lord Balaram fairly won this wager also, but Rukmi again resorted to cheating and declared, "I have won." Let these witnesses here say what they saw. Just then a voice from the sky declared, "Balaram has fairly won this wager. Rukmi is surely lying." So why did Rukmi say to his friends? He said, "Who won?" Prabhupada says, birds of a feather, they flock together. So therefore, they all said, yeah, Rukmi, he won. Balaram's cheating, Rukmi, he won. But obviously it was the other way. Even there was a voice from the sky. Has that ever happened to you? Right. But you read about it in the Mahabharata and the Bhagavatam. It happens occasionally. And when was the last time it happened in this canto? I don't know if it happened after that, but definitely it happened back in the first few chapters. Kamsa, you are a fool. The child who will kill you has already been born. So the voice came from the sky. So if a voice comes from the sky, you listen. And then the voice came and Rukmi still said, "No, no, I won." So what does that mean? Yeah, I mean, very demoniac. Very demoniac. Well, if a voice comes from the sky, then, you know, you have to stop. Urged on by the wicked kings, Rukmi ignored the divine voice. In fact, destiny itself was urging Rukmi on, and thus he ridiculed Lord Balaram as follows. Rukmi said, "You cowherds who wander about the forests, know nothing about dice. Playing with dice and sporting with arrows are only for kings, not for the likes of you." Thus insulted by Rukmi and ridiculed by the kings, Lord Balaram was provoked to anger in the midst of the auspicious wedding assembly. He raised his club and struck Rukmi dead. So as we said, you know, there's really only one person who can get away with this. You know, if you go to a wedding and you kill you know, kill the husband, no, sorry, the father of the bride on the wedding day, you know, no one else can do this. The only person who's allowed to do this is Krishna, Balaram, anyone else who does this. So Prabhupada said we should not imitate Krishna, we should follow Krishna. We do what Krishna says, not what he does. You know? because what he does is a different thing.
Isn't father a grandfather?
It's Prajumna, right? Or the marriage of Rochana, is it? Okay. You have to just read through it, so technically the king of Kalinga, who had laughed at Lord Balaram and shown his teeth, tried to run away, but the furious lord quickly seized him on his tenth step and knocked out all of his teeth. So it happens sometimes, right? We do something, and Krishna gives us exactly that same thing. It happens to me sometimes. Like I do something wrong, and then Krishna, exactly the same thing, he gives back to me. Now you do that, I'll give you this. So Krishna will do it to teach us. Tormented by Lord Balaram's club, the other kings fled in fear. Their arms, thighs, and heads broken, and their bodies drenched in blood. When his brother-in-law, Rukmi, was slain, Lord Krishna neither applauded nor protested, O king, for he feared jeopardizing his affectionate ties with either Rukmini or Balaram. So why did Krishna not say anything or do anything? Yeah, because in one sense he was in the middle. Because Balaram just did something good, but he just killed Rukmini's brother. So he didn't want to say too much because Rukmini would get upset. He didn't want to say too much to encourage Balaram, so he was playing in the middle. But actually, Vishnachakraya Thakur says even Rukmini was happy. But out of social etiquette. And Krishna did not say anything. But as I was reading this and studying this today, preparing the class, I realized that the material world is a very complicated place. Everything in this world is complicated. And as devotees, we should be feeling. I remember my Guru Maharaj said this many years ago when he came to Australia in one lecture. He said that we should be feeling more and more detached from the material energy. You should become detached from Maya. Because this world is very complicated. This is a complicated situation. And I'm just reflecting on things going on in my own life at the moment. So many complications of it. Now, why does Krishna do this? To make us detached. So we have to develop that spirit of detachment. Because I notice in myself, when things are going bad, what happens?
We go more reverse attachment.
When things are going bad, I become detached. But when things start going good again, what happens? I just get attached again. I know, I've been noticing it in the last, say, 6-12 months in my consciousness. When it's all difficult, you know, I'm over this. You know, sometimes you hear devotees say, oh, I don't want to be born in this material world again. Oh, you know, I hate it all. Everything is Maya. Oh. But then when everything's good again, straight back in. No problems. What is it?
Good things don't last forever.
Yeah, that's the ultimate realization. So we have to develop that spirit of actually being detached from this material world. And that's why Queen Kunti says, let the calamities come again and again. And I'm beginning to realize this myself. It's only when the pain and the suffering and the difficulties come, that's the only way I'm going to become detached from this world. So sooner or later, Krishna, he's going to give it all to us. He's going to give you a lot of pain and a lot of suffering to make you finally detached. If he hasn't done it already, it will come. Or else it will come old age. If you had any realizations about old age, as of late. And then, death. So Krishna will give us that realization. If we don't get it earlier, we'll get it at the end.
If they don't die, we won't go to Krishna.
Yeah. But we have to die detached.
Yeah.
And if we die and we're still thinking of material things, then... Then the descendants of Dasharatha, headed by Lord Balaram, seated Aniruddha and his bride on a fine chariot and set off from Bhojakata for Dwaraka. Having taken shelter of Lord Madhusudan, they had fulfilled all their purposes. So, for a devotee, we're happy when our material attachments are cut off. Just like Bhakti Mataji, she said to me the other day, you know, my family have taken all that money and now I won't get any and like that. She said, but the good thing is, I never have to deal with them again. That's the good thing. So for devotees, sometimes, you know, our material ties are cut off, but actually we're happy. Because then we can just... We know what to deal with it. So that's Krishna's mercy. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavad Gita, it says, when Krishna is especially merciful, he takes away your family, your friends, your money, all those things. You know, if you're losing all these things, that's Krishna's mercy. Unless Krishna wants you to have it, he'll give it to you. If he takes it away, that's his mercy. Srila Prabhupada ki.